This is the Ethanol Report. With me is Robert White, who is Director of Market Development for the Renewable Fuels Association. We're going to talk about the significance of the date September 15th as far as 15% ethanol is concerned. And Robert, that date is just around the corner. Tell us what that means.
Well, E15 has been hamstringed this summer because of summer volatility rules governed by the EPA. When the waiver was given to E15, it did not extend the one-pound waiver granted to E10 as well to E15. So in the summer months, the main reason you've only seen two stations to date offer E15 as part of the EPA's waiver approval process is simply because of the availability of that low RVP or low vapor pressure gasoline. But when September 15th hits, all bets are off and all fuel is created equal. All gasoline is created equal, and many retailers across the country will be able to sell E15 for the first time.
You mentioned the two stations that have been able to sell E15. Explain a little bit about why they were able to overcome this particular issue as far as the blend stock is concerned.
The two stations in Kansas actually had the ability to get low RVP gasoline from the Kansas City regional area due to the state implementation plan on both sides of the river. That requires low RVP gasoline in the summer months as a precaution to keep the city of Kansas City on both sides of the border in attainment. It's kind of a precursor to an RFG market like Chicago or St. Louis or Dallas. It's an area where the local communities and governments took the precautions ahead of time to try and curb reaching that non-attainment status. And so what Zarco 66 did was pulled gasoline intended for the Kansas City market and repurposed it outside of the market, and that allowed E15 to be blended and stay underneath the federal cap of 9 pounds during the summer months, which by definition is June 1st through September 15th. But unless you had the opportunity to go into one of those markets, whether it be SIP or RFG markets, you simply didn't have the ability to blend E15 and meet that federal cap.
So they've been open since about mid-July. How have sales been going there at those stations?
We've seen overnight success at both of the locations where sales are more than 20% of all unleaded sales. And to be honest, with premium well below 10%, it was hard to predict what that would be. And soon we'll be able to look at those numbers a little more holistically and see if it actually attracted new customers or if they were simply existing customers that made the move to E15. But we think that's a good example for others to look at as they prepare a business case and see if E15 is right for them.
Now, if retailers are interested in offering E15, what do they need to do?
Well, there are several steps, and first thing we should promote is the RFA has an E15 retailer handbook which walks them through all of the steps required to safely and legally offer E15. That can be found on our website, ethanolrfa.org or byoethanol.com. But there are essentially three steps. The first is if they are going to be blending the ethanol and gasoline to make E15 themselves, they have to adopt the RFA's misfueling mitigation plan, which is a simple letter to EPA. The second step is they have to register with RFGSA, which is the survey group that will be testing the E15 stations and non-E15 stations for ethanol content and vapor pressure. And the last step is to use the label that was required by EPA, the orange and black label that tells who and who cannot use E15. So those are the three major steps that obviously they need to ensure that their equipment is compatible, their state has approved E15 for sale, et cetera. So once all those parameters are hit, those last three steps are what keeps them out of the market. But if they have any questions, of course, we'll walk them through the process step by step.
Considering we saw gas prices go up once again when Hurricane Isaac hit, do you think that there is going to be a good consumer demand for 15% ethanol if it gets out into the marketplace here in the next week or so?
Well, I think there will be, but I also think it's going to take time. There's definitely been a healthy misinformation campaign on E15 long before it was even approved. And to give everyone an example, it took 24 hours from the first drop of E15 being sold in Kansas for the American Petroleum Institute to issue a statewide warning to all Kansans of how detrimental E15 might be to their vehicles. So we know we have obstacles of the misinformation campaign to overcome, but simply put, it's a new product that they've never seen before. And in some cases, their owner's manuals were produced well before E15's approval as well. So it's going to be a process. An example of the two stations that are already open today, it's the highest octane product, but also the least expensive product at those stations. So that bodes really well for those customers that, in some cases, are looking for premium fuel. Now their premium fuel is the cheapest product there. So there's opportunities. We know for a fact that there'll be stations in South Dakota and Kansas and Iowa and Illinois that will start selling E15 for the first time to those 2001 and newer vehicles in the next week, and some that will continue to come online in the following weeks. We know that it will be successful. It's just the rate of success is unknown at this point.
And that's the Ethanol Report. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.